have a start. So the important thing is that the Lord works all things according to the purpose, His purpose. Ephesians 1:11. Who we were predestined according to the purpose of the one who works according to the counsel of his will. And this is something that we believe in these days. Everything, really, virtually everything has changed. But the Lord works everything according to the counsel of His will, and we were predestined according to His counsel. We who have gathered together here, we were predestinated according to His purpose, the one who works everything according to His counsel. So all we see around us, all the limitations and restrictions that we are experiencing, and also all the people around us, they are serving His purpose. And He does everything according to the counsel of His will. And in this context, I'm enjoying Romans 8:28. There Paul says, we know that God lets work together all things, that all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Those who have gathered here, I guess we all have been predestined and called according to His purpose. So to us, everything will work out together for good through all times and all ages. God did everything to complete His purpose and to bring forth His kingdom. Nothing happens without nothing that happens can change His purpose or can prematurely stop His plan, that it does not get completed. The Lord will complete and finish His purpose. I will read another verse to you in Isaiah 46:10.
Dort spricht von sich, der ich von Anfang an den Ausgang verkünde. Und von alters her, was noch nicht geschehen ist, der ich spreche, mein Ratschluss soll zustande kommen. Und alles, was mir gefällt, führe ich aus.
So, den Herrn, mein declaring zustande kommen. The end from the beginning and from ancient time, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. We can see how He's doing, fulfilling everything, and we also see the end, and we can rely on that. The Jeremiah 1 says, I'm watching over everything, over my word to do it. What the Lord has promised, what He has prophesied, He will surely do it. Now I'd like to read Psalm 33. In point A, where I wrote, His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, there is an error. Again, Daniel 4, verse 3. That's the point where a heathen king even says that his kingdom, God's kingdom, is an eternal kingdom. That is a kingdom that will never stop. So now Psalm 33, I'll read from verse 9 on. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Let's just go through some verses. Of course, the scripture contains many more verses, but let us see how earnest, serious the Lord is to work out his counsel, to fulfill it and to complete it until the end.
Dann lese ich Hebräer 6, Vers 17.
Hebrews 6, 17.
Hebräer 6, Vers 17. Darum hat Gott sich
Wherefore God, willing to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his counsel, intervened by an oath. The unchangeableness of his counsel. We can rely on that, that what he has purposed, what he has shown us, what we have seen where we are in, that this counsel will never change, but it will be completed, no matter what will happen around us.
Dinge, von denen wir denken, jetzt ist alles aus.
Even though things may happen that we think, oh, now everything's finished. In our home meeting the other day, we read Luke 24, the disciples of Emmaus, they were so disappointed. They had so great hope, and then they got so much disappointed. And in Acts 2, Acts 2, 23, if we read that, there Peter said, this man, that is Jesus, delivered up by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you, through the hand of lawless men, nailed to the cross and killed. That was the counsel of the Lord, even though the situation at that time, in that moment, was terrible for the disciples. They had great hopes. Many wrong concepts were in them. In Acts, they say, when will you build up the kingdom of the Jews? So they had a different concept of the kingdom than the Lord had. But we have the word that the Lord addressed to the Emmaus disciples in Luke 24. The Lord said, did not the Christ need to suffer that and enter into his glory? I don't find that verse right now where it says. That's verse 46. Even this situation, hopeless situation, the Lord had provoked it, had caused it. He had to provoke it. 25. He said, O foolish and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Luke 24, verse 25. I didn't include it in my outline, but it should have been included. All this was done by the Lord. And then in Acts 4, 27, 28, when they pray, they were saying, they truly in this city that were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you did anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the nations and the peoples of Israel. For what? To do whatever your hand and your counsel predestined to take place. That means all that is taking place right now, what people are doing, has been predestined by God. I don't want to say that they could, surely they cannot, we cannot help but doing God's will, no. I don't want to be fatalistic, but the Lord has his counsel and he is fulfilling it also through all the things that happen around us in the world. And we should know that. And we should be aware of that. The Lord is building his kingdom with us today. We are really in a great work. And in Acts 20, when Paul said goodbye to the elders in Ephesus, in verse 20:25, Acts 20:25, he says, "And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone around about proclaiming the kingdom, will see my face no longer, no more. Wherefore I testify to you on this day that I am clean from the blood of all men. For I did not shrink from declaring to you all the counsel of God." This is what we should know today, more and more. See him, know him more, and also his counsel. As Paul says in Ephesians, and prays for that, that we see and know him and his purpose. It's not just a matter of being saved and live a good life and then to save as many people as around us as possible. Right, this is also part of it, but salvation actually is for his kingdom. He wants to bring down his kingdom on this earth together with us. And for that, he works everything. And this is my point today that we should take back home. The key takeaway should be that the Lord is the King of Kings. He is above everything. He's even leading kings and directing their hearts as water brooks. And he needs us for his kingdom, to build his kingdom with us. He needs us. Lord Jesus. Now I'm coming to Isaiah 44:28. That's number C. I switched the order around, but it's okay. Isaiah 44:28.
Mein Hirte, wird alles ausführen, was mir gefällt.
Who says of Cyrus, "He is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure," saying to Jerusalem, "You shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid." Now we'll read it again. He says, speaks about Cyrus here, who says of Cyrus, "He is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure." saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid. This verse gains great importance when we consider that this was spoken 200 years before it happened. No man at that time knew anything about Cyrus. The Persians were still quite unimportant in world history when this word was spoken. And 200 years later, the Persian kingdom is the greatest, largest kingdom that was there on the whole earth. And Cyrus was the most powerful man on the earth. At the time that this was spoken here by Isaiah, Jerusalem was probably not completely destroyed, and the temple was not completely destroyed yet. And still it was promised here that Cyrus, who would have to come, who would come 200 years later, would fulfill the Lord's counsel by saying of Jerusalem, Jerusalem may be built and the foundation of the temple may be laid. And then in 45:4, why did all that happen for Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect? I have even called you by your name. This is Cyrus is meant here. I have named you, though you have not known me. Are these not surprising verses? This is the word that we have today. It's been spoken, and we will do it. He will work and complete all that. And then in verse 7, Isaiah 45:7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. This also always considering in view with the thought in view that the Lord works everything according to the counsel of his will. We cannot go through all the verses. If you read Ezra, it said that God stirs up the spirit of a heathen king so that Jerusalem would be built up. No matter what our situation looks like, the Lord will fulfill his counsel. In Acts 8, we see the persecution and distribution of those who were saved in Jerusalem. Acts 8, 3 and 4.
Die Zerstreuten nun zogen umher und verkündigten das Wort.
Acts
8,
3 and 4.
In der Reihe nach in die Häuser schleppte Männer und Frauen fort und lieferte sie ins Gefängnis aus.
But Saul was devastating the church, entering house after house and dragging off both men and women. He delivered them to prison. This is a terrible situation, right? Those, therefore, who were scattered went about the land bringing the good news of the law of the word. And we know that the word got distributed all over. And last conference we saw Paul, who was imprisoned, but he had a completely different view. My situation serves for the furtherance of the gospel. And in 2 Timothy 2:9, he says, there he says, my word, the Lord's word is not found. The word of God is not bound. We cannot see each other, but we can hear each other. We can come together and read the word and pray together, and the word of the Lord is not bound. Praise the Lord. Of course, we should also ask the Lord why it all came like that, why we are in that situation, what does it mean, what do you want to say with that, what do you want, does he want to reach in his counsel? Today, it's about time to become active, to serve him, to seek him. When we see calamities and wars, maybe persecutions, but even this small virus can make the world stand still. It's surprising how fast everything can change. Nothing in this world is sure, is remaining. Although also our generation, compared with other generations who saw only good times, peace times, most of us saw good times, but we see that everything can change so fast. From today to tomorrow, the Lord can change everything. And he needs us today to build his kingdom, the church. The church is his kingdom. The church must be this realm where he can reign, where we know him as our head. And the church is something that corresponds to his nature. This is actually the ruling, the reigning. Through the church, through his body, the Lord can be expressed and can be seen, can be made manifest, so that his kingdom can be spread out over the whole earth. This was seen in Daniel with this statue, that the kingdom will conquer the whole earth. And that is what we are in today. For that he has made us a kingdom of priests and kings. He needs us to bring down his kingdom to the earth. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you. Today his kingdom are the golden lampstands through which his nature can be seen. The golden nature, the divine nature, which is full of spirit, and also I hope it's burning in spirit. Okay, now I'd like to stop here and hand over to Gert, that he can share the second part of the first meeting. Yes, praise the Lord. I hope you can listen all well and understand me. We have all been united in spirit, although we cannot see each other.